There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
All right, before I get to my guest after this short segment, Rex Curry, a lawyer who has really went to the researched the case about the Nazi foundations of the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to get in-depth in that story with Rex Curry in a few minutes. But let me mention first, there's a three-part series I'm running on my website, and that's www.arcticbeacon.com. And the third part, it's part two today, and the third part will be out tomorrow. And this is one you don't want to miss. I had on yesterday a gentleman by the name of Marco Saba from the Observatory of Organized Crime in Geneva, Switzerland. And he was talking about the strange case of Dr. Francesco Pazienza, who basically was an Italian Secret Service agent hired by the Secret Service, dismissed by the Secret Service, picked up by Michael Ledeen and other Washington neocon insiders, and used by the Illuminati in our country to bring about things like the Bologna bombing, the October surprise, the Billy Gate affair that you all remember, I'm sure, where President Carter's brother was tied with Gaddafi, and also many, many other things behind the scenes. You just got to listen to the story, because people ask me, say, Greg, why the Pazienza story? Why is it so important? And I said this, you know, it's not a small story. It's a story that opens up the door. And for those of you who look deep below the surface, it's easy to see the wet blood still dripping off the hands of every neocon warlord taking the podium in Washington, D.C. or appearing on national television. In fact, these cold-blooded killers masquerading as public servants and politicians are easy to spot, since blood is still dripping from one side of their mouths as they talk nonsense out of the other. And nonsense is the name of the game for these Illuminati deceivers, as they shift attention from their killing fields to their deceptively false political, academic, and social agenda. It's happening right now as the masters of deception and trickery are playing the American population for fools, spinning lies on a daily basis as the bloodshed flows all over the world like an out-of-control river of death. And this death, deception, shifting of attention, and silencing of detractors is abundantly clear in the strange case of Dr. Francesco Pazienza, the Italian operative jailed by high-ranking members of the Illuminati working in the U.S. government and in the Bush administrations. Now, observers may question and say, why focus on Pazienza? Why focus on one drop of blood in a sea of red when so many other people are dying all over the world from Illuminati terror? The reason is Pazienza's story highlights how Washington bigwigs lock away and how they kill for sport, setting up terrorist bombings and disasters around the world like normal people set up weekend getaways or Saturday afternoon barbecues. As Pazienza case makes clear, if they would kill 83 in the 1980 Bologna bombing, don't you think they would kill innocent children at Waco, hundreds at Oklahoma City, and more than 3,000 on 9/11? Wake up! This, of course, is only the tip of the iceberg, as millions of innocents are slated to unknowingly walk a direct path into the 21st century's rendition of the Illuminati guillotine. For centuries they've been doing this, and for centuries they have been the driving force behind war, famine, and death, killing millions along the line of history as easily as swatting flies in a horse barn during a hot summer day. So in the case of Pazienza, as we look at one drop of blood in a larger bucket of Illuminati blood, we see a pattern of deception, corruption, and killing that played out in Italy in the 80s and is playing out today in a similar manner on the streets of America. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Rex Curry on the Investigative Journal.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Facts were first exposed by my guest, a historian and libertarian lawyer, Rex Curry, during research for court litigation against the Pledge of Allegiance. The new pledge case from Elk Grove, California, that was on September 14, 2005, virtually guarantees, according to Curry, the High Court will review the pledge again. And Dr. Curry, my guest today, will be there to tell the whole truth, including the parts that are hidden by the courts and media. As a libertarian lawyer, Curry provides pro bono services at schools and events nationwide to educate the public about the news. Recent news coverage and stunning photos are also available at his website. He'll get you to that. But Dr. Curry showed that the USA's early Pledge of Allegiance to the flag used a straight-arm salute, and it was the origin of the salute of the monstrous National Socialist German Workers' Party. And Dr. Curry, I'm very interested in knowing all about the Pledge of Allegiance that I remember as a child when I was in school.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. I'll be happy to tell you everything I know.
Well, go right ahead.
It was, of course, written by Francis Bellamy back in 1892, and a lot of people don't realize that Francis Bellamy was the cousin to Edward Bellamy, who had written an international bestseller back in 1888 before Francis wrote the pledge called Looking Backward, and it's referred to as the Nationalist Bible, if you will, the foundation of the nationalist movement. And this is, of course, what we're talking about is three decades about before the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which most people only know as the Nazis, which is the shorthand for National Socialist German Workers' Party. And so Edward worked with his cousin, Francis Bellamy. They both were self-professed socialists within the nationalist movement. They supported the Nationalist Educational Association, believe it or not, which was the phrase they used for an organization that published the Nationalist magazine. And they were the head of, Edward inspired the Nationalist Party in the USA well before the Nationalist Socialist German Workers Party in Germany.
Interesting. Now, what got you involved in this? I was talking to somebody at the studio today, and he was mentioning how even his son went into school here in Texas and refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance on his own. And that led him into a research project regarding the pledge. But how did you start on this, and where has it led you to?
Well, it started with the case that you referred to, Elk Grove. I kept becoming irritated by the lamestream media. They kept all through the original controversy out of Elk Grove, California. All they would do is focus on the two-word phrase and that topic in any news stories. They would never talk about the entire pledge, its origin, or, for that matter, show you a picture, historic photographs that exist of children performing the early salute to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Which was what? The straight-arm Nazi salute?
That's
Heil Hitler?
That is.
I pledge allegiance to...
Can you believe it? And people here in the USA were doing it three decades before and leading up to and even beyond the existence of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So I just find it astounding that not only did they do that from the very beginning, they're still doing it today. It's still headed back to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it appears as if they are doing everything they can to never show your audience or anyone in the USA the real history of the Pledge of Allegiance, as they just drone on about the two-word phrase in the litigation.
Right. Now, let's take us back a little bit and tell us what you found out, all the history, all the interesting pictures, things like that, that really show this salute has its roots in the Nazi Party.
Right. Now, what happened was, being socialist, Francis actually wanted the government to take over all schools, and that was part of the original program in which the pledge appeared back in 1892 in a magazine called the Youth Companion, on which his name appears at the end as the head of the executive committee for the program. The excuse was a Columbus Day celebration, and they came up with the idea of having a Pledge of Allegiance and promoting government schools. You can read the original program from the 1892 September 8th edition of the Youth Companion. And he digs at non-government schools because he wants to promote the government takeover of education. And in fact, he used to work with the National Education Association, meaning the school group that is still with us to this day. And he also promoted the pledge through that organization and other civic organizations, including, interestingly enough, the Freemasons, of which he was a member, as well as his cohort, James Upham, who was also working with the Youth Companion with Helm to create the pledge program, the Pledge of Allegiance program for that Columbus Day issue of the Youth Companion magazine. And as they actually used phrases borrowed from Edward Bellamy for their dogma. They called it military socialism. They wanted all of society to ape the military. They even used the phrase industrial army. They wanted to have and create an industrial army in the United States of America of workers, to have all of society, the entire economy, all goods, services, food, clothing, and shelter to be created, and their utopian fantasy of national socialism through an industrial army, which would, of course, be created through the schools. And in keeping with their military socialism dogma, he liked the military, he idolized it, and he started the pledge with a military salute, as described. You can read it in the Youth Companion article, the original description of the Pledge of Allegiance. Began with a military salute for the phrase, "I pledge allegiance." Would begin with everyone standing with the military salute. After the phrase, "I pledge allegiance," was chanted by everyone in mass, after the government's bell, after the ringing of the government's bell, then the youngsters were supposed to extend their arm out from the military salute towards the flag, to gesture toward the flag. Now, the interesting thing is, in the original description, Bellamy had the palm turn upward as if to gesture towards the flag. There's the flag. Yet, what happened is students who were disinterested and were being forced by law, in fact, and we can even go into all the violence that was inspired by the pledge and these laws, mm-hmm. students would just extend the military salute out. They were not, of course, into the detail. To them, it was just a mandatory, forced robotic chanting that the schools made them do, that the government made them do, and they would just extend their hands out. And I happen to be the only person still to this day on the Internet who collects and displays historic photographs of the early salute, which, by the way, if anybody out there listening has more that I don't have, let me know. I'd love to more.
Why don't you tell us where we can look at those right
you
now?
You go to rexcurry.net, which is rexcurry.net, and I'll tell your listeners something that they might enjoy, which is if you hit the top right square, which says rexcurry.net, you'll actually go into an interior section where you can see a reference to a book on the pledge and to other links to the photographs. You can also just do a web search. If you just do a web search for Pledge of Allegiance and quotation marks, such as using Google, and you hit image for the image search, I think I'm one of the two top examples of photographs, and I am still the only examples of the photographs, historic photographs, of the early pledge when you do that image search, which will lead you also to examples of the historic photographs of the kids doing what people call the Nazi salute.
Now,
it's terrifying to see, man. Check it out. People freak out when they see it.
I'm going to check that out. When did they stop doing that type of salute?
Amazingly enough, the Congress decided to inject itself into the mess in 1942 after the USA had entered World War II against the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Can you believe it? They waited that long. Of course, my attitude is Congress didn't need to be involved in the first place. It was becoming unpopular anyway among all the schools because obviously it was very disturbing to see that a group, especially a group called the National Socialist German Workers' Party, was aping the same salute that was used for the Pledge of Allegiance every day, the ring of a bell, in the government schools all through the USA, the USA schools have been doing for, you know, three decades before mm-hmm. the German National Socialists.
Interesting. Now, you were even saying you were researching the... Let me get into that afterwards. I was going to ask you about your research into what the word Nazi and how that may be misleading. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Safe beneath you. corporate media dominates the American opinion, finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
I want everyone to know that I checked out Rex Curry's site. I looked at the pictures, and now it is 2012. And let's just say that I'm sitting in a classroom, and I go, hi, I got my hand out like Hitler, and I'm saluting Hitler. Hi, little Hitler Bush. I pledge allegiance to the New World Order, for which it stands, one world under the devil, with fascism and concentration camps for all. Wouldn't they love us to be saying that, Rex, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably. In fact, a lot of them regret the fact that the United States Supreme Court eventually ruled. Originally, the Supreme Court ruled for the government's ability to expel children from schools, and the government would even arrest parents who would not force their children to do it. The government would seize children on the excuse that parents were unfit parents if they did not force their children to do the Nazi salute of the early pledge and the chanting every morning. And and of course there was also violence. People would be attacked for this. This is what the pledge inspired in people. And these same people you're referring to today, they, as you mentioned, you made reference to a fellow in Texas. Here in Florida, there's a bill that would like to strengthen it. They regret that the Supreme Court eventually decided that the schools could not expel children who did not do the pledge. and they do everything they can to push the limits of that Supreme Court decision, which they wish they could overturn. Some of these people, it would not surprise me if they would like to restore the original salute of the early pledge.
That is scary, isn't it? Just the thought of it.
Think of it also as brainwashing. And, you know, a lot of these, this is a routine that is done every day at the command of the government, led by a government employee, the teacher. It's just repetitious, robotic chanting with a salute. And although the gestures changed, the ideas behind it haven't changed at all. The Bellamys were very successful because the government did take over education. They continued to take over more and more of it and expand their control even on the national level. So the Bellamys succeeded in putting that flag in front of the schoolhouse, and now in every classroom some of these laws mandate it. And as far as the Bellamys were concerned, what they were saying to you, Greg, and to your audience members is, we are in control. This flag here is to let you know that we have taken over. This is a government school. This is nationalism, national socialism. We control you. We tell you what to do. And every morning when the bell rings, you will repeat it. And you know why? Because we think you're a liar. We don't believe you. You do it the first day, we don't believe you. That's why you're going to do it the next day. You're going to do it a month from today. You're going to do it next year every day. You're going to do it for the first 12 years of your education every day because you're a liar. We don't believe you, and we are going to brainwash you.
And I walk into your office. You're a lawyer. And I say to you, my son doesn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance in his high school class. Can the high school force my son to do this if he refuses?
They cannot force him to recite the pledge. There are some gray areas which some of these schools act like they want to test. Three things can happen. One is a lot of these schools don't even know what the law is. So you end up with these odd situations where they do end up trying to force somebody to say it or discipline somebody because they're ignorant. They don't know what the law is. And, of course, they also don't know what the history of the pledge is, as we're talking about today. And the second thing that happens is, although you can't be forced to recite it, the decision didn't really say, well, they can make you stand there or whether they can even make you remain in the classroom. Can they make you stand up? Can they prevent you from leaving if you don't want to see it? Those are things that have not actually been decided. And here's another problem. What about the teachers? The decisions didn't say whether a teacher has to comply with these laws that are popular in many states that mandate that the teacher is going to lead this robotic chanting every morning. To lead the kids.
Right.
Of course, the final problem is they never tell the kids, by the way, you don't have to do this. They're never going to tell them anything because they're going to try to make them do it.
Exactly. Now, you say that the government schools deserve a F, a failing grade, for not teaching students about their right to refuse and about the horrid history of the pledge, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I don't remember ever seeing a word about that when I went to school, and I'm sure it hasn't changed now. Now, you say there's some oddball states where government schools are required by law to begin each day.
Oh, Florida is one of them.
Okay.
Florida, yeah, Texas would not surprise me at all. I can't remember specifically, but I would be willing to bet Texas is another example.
Well, maybe we have some listeners out there who can shed some light on that. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. Is the Pledge of Allegiance required by law in your state? Let us know. But, yeah, I mean, so Florida's one who still requires that, right?
Yes, sir. And there's also a video that was taken of another state, I think it was Pennsylvania or Jersey, where some kids actually had a videotape, and they were not performing the pledge, and the teacher became irate.
We're going to take a break, Rex. I got to take a break right now. We'll come back and finish this with Rex Curry on the Investigative Journal.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, badge I laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in the coonskin cap in a pigpen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
Okay, back on the Investigative Journal, final half hour. We have Rex Curry, historian, who's looking into the real roots of the Pledge of Allegiance. And Rex, I have Danny Romero from Texas with us, and he's told us that it is a law in Texas to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but he has a great story, and I want you to comment about this after you listen to Danny's story. He's with us. His son refused to say the pledge in a Texas high school, and then something happened. He was reprimanded. I better let Danny tell the story. Go ahead, Danny. You're on the air.
Hi, Rex.
Yes, hi.
My son, we had been homeschooling my son, and he really wanted to get back to school, I guess, to be around his friends and things. So he was in a class, and I work in the Patriot community, and, you know, he hears what's going on with the government and everything like that. So he decided one day that he didn't want to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and his teacher came up to him afterwards and said, why didn't you stand? I mean, it's a Texas state law that you're supposed to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. So he just told him that he didn't feel that he needed to stand and support a government that illegally went into Iraq and manipulated intelligence to go there, and he just didn't feel that he was compelled to, repeat the pledge. So anyway, the teacher sent a note home saying that he was referring him up for detention and, telling us that it was a state law. So that set off alarm bells with us because it just seemed odd that it's a state law to force somebody to do something. So we researched it on the website, and we may have come across some of your information, and we did find out some of the origins of the pledge. But anyway, we also found out, to our surprise, that Rick Perry in 2003 did sign a law saying that you had to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, although in the law there were no penalties for not doing it, and also parents had the ability to opt out if they signed a note to do so. So we, in fact, did sign a note, send it over to the school, and that kind of quieted things down for a little bit. But then my son came home and said that the teacher wanted him to stand outside while everybody else was reciting it so that nobody, I guess, would follow in his suit. So, but I told my son, no, that's shunning you for not complying like everybody else is complying. I said, you don't ever leave that class. Stay in that class. Well, in the long run, that kind of upset us. So we're back to homeschooling him again.
Interesting story, Rex. Go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations. Well, I'm glad to hear it turned out well. Do they try to make him stand when he's inside the class while others are chanting?
No, they finally realized that they couldn't do anything, and to send him outside would be a form of shunning him. So I said, you have every right to be in that class while they're not, when they're reciting it, and you don't have to stand if you don't feel compelled to. Plus, we didn't want him to stand after we read the research that you're absolutely talking about today, and I've read it, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and that is an interesting area that hasn't actually been completely litigated, which is, can they make them stand even though they can't make them chant it? Also, you referred to a new law that has an opt-out provision. I think that is a new development, and that's an example of what I was talking about. They are trying to stretch it as far as they can. Despite the U.S. Supreme Court decision, they are creating these new laws where they try to make this presumption, this onus on students that they have to do it unless they get a note from a parent to release them.
Yeah, but how can they opt out if they don't even know, that the opt-out clause exists?
True, and that's the other thing that I'm sure they'll never tell your son in the government schools or any student there, which is all the things we're talking about, including the Supreme Court decisions. In fact, the way you describe it, the teacher began by misinforming him about what the law was.
Absolutely.
And there's if you get to the pledge contents page, as I described at rexcurry.net, near the bottom of the contents page, there is a reference called Flag Nazis in the USA's Police State, and it contains a video that you might remember was in the news because it had some kids taping a teacher's reaction when they did not stand for the salute. He seemed to know that he couldn't make them chant it, but he was trying to make them stand, and he seems to become very outraged. His voice is raised. It sounds like he tries to remove a chair from a student who is sitting in a chair. It's quite disturbing, and yet I guess we should be lucky that they aren't actually killing people anymore or taking children away from their parents, which is what they used to do to people like you, on the excuse that you were unfit parents because you wouldn't force your child to do it.
Well, they'll be taking, don't worry, they'll be not, remembering Danny down the road when we're all ready to go into our concentration camps. I think they're headed toward, we got 2 feet in fascism right now. This just goes to show you what they do regarding independent thinking in the schools. Rex, my question to you, though, is, throughout this type of, you put this fight up on the internet, you're one of the only people that has, what kind of reactions do you get from everyone? I'm sure it's mixed.
It's very mixed. Some people are absolutely amazed when they find out what I am telling them. And, of course, some of them then become outraged. They become outraged because they feel they've been lied to all of their lives by the government schools, by their teachers, by the government, because they were never told this. They were never shown the historic photographs. And, of course, I'm the one who made the discovery that it actually was the origin of the salute of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. I made that connection because most people, for example, don't even know what the word Nazi means. So they would never make a connection to the National Socialism of the Bellamys. And most people recite the myth that it's an ancient Roman salute, which is a myth. It is not an ancient Roman salute. And the other thing that happens is an interesting connection your audience might enjoy. In the process of this research, I also made the discovery that under the National Socialist German Workers Party, the party would sometimes use the swastika as to represent overlapping S letters or shapes for their socialist philosophy. Another connection that most people in the United States could never make because they don't even know the Nazis were the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Although it was an ancient symbol, Hitler ended up turning it 45 degrees from the horizontal, and he ended up using future uses as always pointing to the right, even though historically it could point left or right. And he did this to highlight the S shape. He even changed his own bizarre signature to reflect an S, which you can find on my website by doing searches for his signature. And you can still see the same type of alphabetic symbolism on Volkswagens. It was the same idea through their propaganda machine and their symbolism that they used.
I think Danny's still with us and has another question. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, one more thing that I found out because of this incident, which really surprised me, is that they wanted the kids to wear their student ID tags around their neck.
Oh, my God.
And so, but the alarm?
They want to tattoo them, too, the Social Security number.
I think that's next. But the thing that surprised me the most is they gave all the kids free lanyards to wear these ID tags around their neck, and they say U.S. Army National Guard with the 1-800-GO-GUARD number on them. Now, they can have a different lanyard if they purchase it, which was really surprising to me. And since I took my son out of the government school, I've gotten letters from the Marine Corps, the Army, and the National Guard sending him personal information. And that's because he's on the government school database, and the government has access to that for, setting our kids up for conscription.
Sure, and how do you like the phrase, the name they chose for their new organization, Homeland Security?
Yeah, but where did that come from? Are you researching that? I think we know where that came from.
It sounds like motherland security.
What you're describing is actually terrifying, and I am always at a loss to understand why parents continue to send their children to government school
right.
in the numbers that they do.
And you know, what Danny was saying there was interesting because there's also an opt-out clause that the schools never tell the parents about regarding giving their information to the military. I've heard, though, that even people that have opted out and not allowing their sons or daughters' information to go to the military still are getting contacted anyway. So this is just unbelievable, and another reason to pull your son or daughter out before the military gets their hands on them and puts them in this huge war coming up, in the war going on in Iraq. Let me get to another caller. I have Dylan in Texas. You're on the Investigative Journal.
Oh, great job today, Greg. Great guest. Sir, can you give your information out again? How can we, your website or anything?
Sure. It's my name, Rex Curry, which is rexcurry.net, rexcurry.net. It's all together, the rexcurry. There's no space or hyphen or anything.
I've always held a certain amount of contempt for this Pledge of Allegiance, at least since I was old enough to start thinking about things politically. I mean, as a teenager. And the truth is that a pledge, first of all, is an agreement, at least on condition to render services or property in the future. And allegiance is something a school student under 12 years old, definitely, and possibly above that, doesn't really understand. Allegiance, plenty of adults really don't understand the word allegiance. And this is a verbal pledge in violation of the direct violation of the first and the second commandments that were repeated by Jesus Christ. And I'm full with you.
Go
ahead, Rex.
I appreciate it. In fact, I tell you what, because the Bellamys were socialists, they got it completely backwards. You see, it's not supposed to be the kids pledging allegiance to the government or the teacher or whatever. It's supposed to be the kids sitting there. If they want to keep pledging, the kids can sit there while the teacher gives a pledge of allegiance to their individual rights, their constitutional rights, their property rights, or congressmen and politicians can do that. That would be the American way. I think real Americans declare their independence. They do not pledge allegiance, certainly not to a government that is out-socializing the previous administration by more than double in social spending alone. And, you know, FDR was influenced by the Bellamys, too. He gave us the Social Security numbering program, the Socialist Slave numbering program, where kids like the fellow in Texas, they get their numbers now before they're out of the hospital. They're applying for it. The schools want the number before you enroll the kid in the school, and they're eventually going to have them on their little ID cards strapped around their necks and then tattooed onto their arms.
It's all too much relieving for me to think about. I'm so glad I'm not in school. I don't have a kid in school today, but I did take an oath of military service, and that is entirely different from the Pledge of Allegiance. The oath of military service, you pledge to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yes,
you don't pledge
to
the flag. You don't pledge to the government.
Yes, and I hope you don't. I hope they don't make you get up every morning when they ring a bell and all stand together.
No, you take it once and they take your word for it.
What's that?
In the military, you take your oath of military service once, and they take your word on it.
Exactly. This is like brainwashing the way they do it with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hey, God bless y'all.
Okay, thanks. Rex, what stage are you at now? You said you're going to be ready to go to the Supreme Court. Is that something that's pending now?
Yes, sir. It's in the circuit court, appellate court, at this point in the California area, and I am preparing to participate on the Supreme Court level. And, you know, the sad thing is the individual that's behind it really, as far as I can tell, has no interest in discussing what we're discussing. He does exactly what the lamestream media does. All he does is, you know, drone on and on about two words out of this entire thing and ignore everything else about it.
And what is your advice, I guess, to parents out there? And also, what is your goal in this whole fight?
My goal is to encourage people to stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And I speak in schools. I make an effort to speak in schools where I take the pictures and I explain the history of it. And I also want to encourage everyone to, well, I've actually inspired some groups, some civic groups, including Southern groups, to stop even displaying the flag at their meetings, as well as to stop doing their routine in the past of chanting the pledge. So I encourage people to do that. And, of course, ultimately, here's the catchphrase, remove the pledge from the flag, remove the flag from the schools, remove the schools from government. Ultimately, it's not really just about the pledge. It's about government. Our government is enormous. It's a Leviathan National Socialist government. It's taking over everything, and the real goal here is to recognize that and to massively cut the size and scope of government and its taxation laws.
Yeah, good point. I mean, that's the tip I was going to say. This must be the tip of the iceberg for you. You're a libertarian lawyer. I'm sure you see it all. And this is a good way to instill in our children an independent thinking child instead of one that's being controlled and brainwashed by the state. And it happens over and over again. I really am upset about the history books. I mean, we've got to start teaching the real history.
I say to kids in schools when I speak, I say, I'll pay you $50 if you can go in the library and find me a picture of the early salute. Nobody's ever done it. And you know what's also scary about the Nazi connection is after the government granted the Bellamy wish of taking over the schools, you know, that they imposed segregation by law and taught racism as official policy, and they did that for 3 decades, setting a horrible example for the Nazis. And amazingly enough, even after the Nazis were defeated, although they had changed the salute, they kept doing the pledge, and they continued to have segregation imposed by law and racism taught as official policy all the way into the 60s, you know. So it's another scary parallel between what we were doing at the same time that the Nazis were doing it.
Okay, we're going to take one final break here, and then we'll be back for our final segment on the Investigative Journal in 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
There's a man with a gun over here.
Let me just recap this in the final segment. This is what my guest Rex Curry wrote in part. Francis Bellamy, who we were talking about, wrote the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag. The pledge expressed the totalitarian socialism of his cousin and cohort Edward Bellamy, as detailed in Looking Backward, Edward's book. And that is why the Bellamys are known as the first American Nazis. They were domestic Hitlers. Those are your words. And where can people find this adventure that you document brilliantly, might add, going all the way back to discuss the roots and also with pictures regarding pictures of that. There's one picture of all these children standing there with this Heil Hitler, their hands way raised up. Right before they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Where can people find this before we run out of time?
That's rexcurry.net. And another picture your audience would like is, as far as I know, the only picture that's available for them to see of a segregated class doing the early Pledge of Allegiance with the straight arm salute.
Hmm. And give us that website again.
rexcurry.net, altogether, rexcurry.net.
And what else are you doing now? I know you're a libertarian lawyer. What other issues are you working on? What other issues are of interest? Of course, give us a little bit of your take on what's happening in America today.
Drug dogs. I'd be happy to chat with you anytime about the government uses drug dogs in order to violate your right not to be searched or seized. They use it in car stops. They'll try to use it in walking or even around your house. Now, and I've done quite a bit of work in motions to suppress litigating against drug dogs who are actually used basically to lie and to tell you that they've alerted to your car and to then use that as an excuse to remove you from your car and search your car if you refuse to consent, if you refuse to give up your Fourth Amendment rights.
Right. And I remember seeing something on one of those, just quickly, I was walking from the kitchen to the living or to the bedroom or something, and then one of those cop shows was on TV, and it was just that same scene. The guy gets pulled out of his car, the drug dog is there, and the cop's going something like, "Well, Charlie smells something here. What do you smell, Charlie? What do you got in there?" "Well, there's nothing in there," the gentleman in the car says, and all of a sudden he lets Charlie in the car. Charlie jumps in the car and goes, that's the German Shepherd, Charlie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he goes right to the cigarette, goes right down underneath the car or to the cigarette holder and finds the methamphetamines, and the guy's busted. So
yeah, well, the other day there was a news article. It's very fresh. One of the drug dogs found some hot dogs in a hot dog cart at a basketball game in California, San Diego, I believe it was, that delayed the start, the entry into the stadium for 2 hours.
Wow, I was wondering about that. Yeah, that was interesting. That's what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They alerted on a hot dog cart.
Oh, Lord. Well, anyway, listen, Rex, it was thanks for being with us. I'm going to have you back again sometime, but
yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're all out of time on the Investigative Journal today. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock, same time. Until then, good afternoon.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jay Quaid to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.